Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Dave.
Good to see you. So, okay, well, let's go ahead and ask for the Lord's help in a word of prayer. Please join me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your gift above all gifts, the gift of your beloved Son. Lord, we thank you, Lord, he came as what we desperately needed, a Savior, a Redeemer. And Lord, he shed his blood, his own precious blood, to redeem us, Lord, from the pit and from destruction. And so, Lord, as we consider this passage regarding your Son, we do ask for your help. I ask, Lord, as just an earthen vessel, for your help and your enabling through your Spirit for this time of consideration of your Son. May he be glorified, and may every heart be spoken to, and may every person be blessed and be met in the place of need that they are at. And these things we ask in the worthy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, our passage, and you have it written out in on your notes, is the passage is Matthew 26, verse 36 through 46. So we'll go ahead and begin by reading that passage, Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so, you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples, and he said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. Thank God for the reading of his word. And you see that I titled this message, Preparation Through Prayer. The Lord Jesus knew of the torment and suffering that laid before him. Luke 18, keep your place there in Matthew. We'll be back to it. Luke 18, verse 31, he knew in detail. Verse 31, and he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered into the Gentiles, to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him, and the third day he will rise again. So the Lord knew in detail. It says that all things were written through the prophets were to be fulfilled. That which was written in Psalm 22, verses 1 through 31. That was written in Isaiah 53, 1 through 12, about his sufferings would all be fulfilled. In Psalm 22, there is the picture given there of of crucifixion. They pierced my hands and my feet. All his bowels being the tremendous thirst and the weight of his body being hung on that cross. And of course, in crucifixion, in order to breathe, they had to push up on their feet. His pierced feet have to push up in order to breathe. He knew all of this torment in detail. Knowing all this that was to befall him, how should he prepare for this ordeal? How do you prepare for crucifixion? Go out and get loaded with whatever intoxications you can find? How many people, knowing this detail, would have chosen to go to a high cliff and just jump off rather than face this? Many times, we don't know what a trial is going to really turn out to be in our lives. But he knew. He knew. He prepared himself through prayer. And the amazing thing, if you look at this passage, at least it amazed me. I hope it strikes you the same way. But you see him at the beginning of this passage, you see him in great sorrow, deeply grieved, deeply distressed. And at the end of the passage, how do we find him? We find him ready. We find him ready to meet the trial. Come on, guys, let's go. Let's go. Where it's similar to what comes to mind is David facing Goliath. How did David face Goliath? He ran towards him. He ran towards him. And so we see here that through this time of prayer, Jesus became prepared to meet this incredible, incredible trial. And it's important to understand that Jesus Christ did not rely upon his deity to face the cross. He faced all this as a man, relying upon the resource from God as we are expected to do. That's how he faced it. He relied upon God as he faced this trial. Psalm 22, look at Psalm 22, prophecy concerning this suffering. Psalm 22, verse 9 and 10. Well, let's just read 8, or 7 and 8. All who see me sneer at me. They separate their lip. They wag their head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver you. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. Remember when he was on the cross, they mocked him. He saves others. He can't save himself. Verse 9, yet thou art he who did bring me forth from the womb. Thou did make me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. Upon thee I was cast from birth. Thou hast been my God from my mother's womb. The Lord Jesus lived as a man. He lived a life of faith as an example to us. That's how he dealt with it. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and 9. Hebrews 5, 7 and 9. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud cryings and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son of God, He learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. So he learned, even though he was perfect, he always did those things that pleased his heavenly Father, yet as a man, he learned what it meant to be obedient and to trust God as a human being. There wasn't some kind of magic aura that came over him and he felt no pain. He felt it. He felt it all. He suffered it all, and he endured through faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of what? Of faith. Of faith. See? He's the author and perfecter of faith, who for joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he faced all this through faith. And I would say this, that the whole outcome of what he suffered at the hands of the high priest and the Gentiles, the Romans, and the cross, and all of it, the outcome of the suffering to follow was determined through the triumph of this prayer. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. You might say, well, Gary, aren't you kind of building this prayer thing up a little bit much? No, I'm not. No, nope, not at all. Not building it up. John chapter 12, verse 27. "Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." We notice in this prayer that we just read in Matthew 26, he didn't say, "Save me from this hour." He said what? "Thy will be done." "Thy will be done." He could have said, "Father, get me out of here." Could have. But he didn't. Instead, he retreated to this place of prayer. He left the city and went across a ravine of Kidron over to the Mount of Olives and into this garden orchard. Some people feel it's maybe just an orchard, olive orchard. And in verse 36, "And Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane." Okay? It was a place he'd gone to often. It tells us in Gospel of John chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. It was a place he resorted to often with his disciples. He got away from the hustle and bustle of the city, and he went apart to a garden, a quiet place, to meet with his heavenly Father. See? Quiet place. And he took the time for prayer. So there was a place for prayer, and there was a time for prayer. Okay. I have a place and I have a time in the morning for prayer. From about 4:10 to 5 in the morning is the Lord's time for me to meet with him out in the living room, kneeling down on the couch and meeting with the Lord. That's where you'll find me. I don't want you to find me, by the way. Don't come knocking at my door. But that's where you would find me. And these days, these mornings, it's a little chilly. I'm wrapped up in my blankie, got my blanket on. But I'm kneeling down. That's where I am. And sometimes I like to cut the time short, but it's like the Lord says, it's my time. My time. So, but it's quiet. See, I had five kids. When can you find a quiet time in a house with five kids? You know, it's early in the morning before everybody's up. I'm up. I'm up there to meet with the Lord. So he took his disciples. He went to the place of prayer, the quiet place. And he took the time before this trial to pray. And it's interesting, the name Gethsemane means oil press. Oil press. Because what they do is they take the olives and they put them in a press and they squeeze them, they press them. And through the pressure onto the flesh of that fruit, it squeezes, it extrudes out the oil. Is extruded out of it. And indeed, he is in the place of pressure. Our Lord is under pressure, and what is being squeezed out is his divine, wonderful, divine, godly nature is being pressed out. The pressure, precious oil of his holy character was flowing through this time. It was a time of fervent prayer, Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 wasn't just saying a few words of prayer, you know, nothing. It was a very fervent time of prayer. Verse 44, Luke 22, verse 44, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Fervent prayer before his heavenly Father. It reminds me of Psalm 25, verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. A presentation of oneself before God in such a way. And in that fervent prayer, in Luke 22, verse 43, he was strengthened. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him in this time of prayer. Now, in considering this prayer, I want to just talk about three C's. His cup, his conflict, and his commitment. His cup, his conflict, and his commitment. First of all, his cup. It's an analogy in speaking about what was apportioned to him. What was appointed for him was, he refers to it as his cup. And it's a bitter cup. Okay? It's this suffering that is set before him. It is the greatest stress. It is the greatest sorrow. It is the greatest agony. It is the greatest weight to bear required of any person ever. It's hard for us to even take it in, the sufferings of Christ. I knew a Christian man who related to me how he had an accident with a knife, where the knife blade went all the way through the palm of his hand, sticking out the other side. And, you know, he was talking about the pain, but the thing is, you know, in some ways he thought, well, maybe in some small measure I could relate through that experience of the nail being driven through his palm, but it's even hard because he was pierced through because of our sin. it wasn't just the physical pain, which was enormous, but it was the fact that he was innocent. More than innocent, he was blameless. He was holy. He was altogether perfect. The very hand that lifted up the fallen, the very hand that touched the leper and healed them, the very hand that ministered food to the hungry, the very hand of good was now pierced through for our sin. How do we take that in? How do we understand the suffering of Christ? We know it was the greatest. It just was simply enormous. He had to bear this cup alone. There's nobody else to be up there on the cross with him. He alone was the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. He alone. And yet what's interesting in this hour of distress is that he invites and wants the disciples to stand with him. Notice it says, verse 36, the end of that, sit here while I go over and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be grieved and distressed. And he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. Keep watch with me. He wanted them to support him and be with him in this time of his prayer. You know, each one of us has to go through alone certain trials that are great and distressing. But it's encouraging to know that somebody can come alongside, though they can't, in a sense, be with us through the operation or be with us through whatever that trial is, but they can stand with us and pray for us. See, I've been encouraged because people have been saying to me this morning, brother, I prayed for you. Thank you. Thank you that you prayed for me. If there's good that's coming out of this message, I give glory to God and answers to prayer. Thank you. Thank you for that, okay? So he invited these people to be with him. This cup, which he was before him, this appointed suffering. Second thing is his conflict. Verse 39, and he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, some people are going to be upset. What do you mean conflict? He had no conflict. I mean, he always did the will of the Father. I mean, he's there's no doubt in his mind what he's going to do. Wait a minute. Are we reading what he's saying? Read his words. It's his words. He's saying, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as what? Not as I will, but Father, as you will. I'm very familiar with this. Now, he's human, and what I rejoice in is that he's human. What sane person would want to go through this suffering? Huh? I don't know about you out there. I mean, you just sign up for any suffering that comes along? Me, I'll suffer. I don't want to do it. Come on, I'm ready for it. He's human. He knows what it's going to entail. He knows all the suffering. And just like us, he says, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to suffer that. But what does he do? He doesn't want to do that, but he defers what? To his Father's will and to the greater good of that will. And my, if you're a Christian here and you've made any progress, you know exactly what I am talking about. We cannot go forward in our Christian life without these kind of prayers, can we? I remember as a young Christian, I desperately wanted to get married. Wanted to get married. Marcia can tell me I had some, you know, relationships that would not have worked out well. Let's just put it that way. And I remember after one relationship broke apart, got on my knees, and I said, Lord, if it means that I'm going to be single for the rest of my life, with tears, I was crying, and I said, I just want your will for my life. And I meant it. I was putting it on the line. I was saying, okay, Lord, I believe you have the best for me, and if that's what it means, then thy will be done. I still remember that. I can picture it in my mind's eye, there in my parents' den, on my knees, crying. But I gave it to the Lord, truly. And then, in the Lord's time, the Lord brought along the perfect woman for me. I'm not just saying that because she's sitting here. I'm not saying Marcia's perfect. I didn't say Marcia's perfect, but Marcia is the perfect woman for me. Absolutely. And I think she'd say I'm the perfect guy for her, but I don't know about that. I'm not so sure, but I think so. I think she'd say that. But we have to come before these, we come to these Gethsemane places in our life. And what's on my heart to this morning is that, you know what? We need the Gethsemane time every single morning. Oh, well, Gary, okay, come on. All right, I knew you were going there. I don't do mornings, Gary. I just don't do mornings. But I don't know, how can you leave the house? You know the old American Express card commercial, don't leave home without it? I don't know how you can leave the house not knowing what you're going to face without having time to get before the Lord and present yourself before the Lord. I just don't know. I just can't. And he didn't face this trial without this time of prayer and resolving this conflict. I would like this cup to pass, if it's possible. And notice he says in Mark, the way he prays, Abba Father, all things are possible. If there's another way. And based on the Father's apparent answer, there was no other way for us to be saved. For me to be redeemed from my sin, he had to go through that. There was no other way. And he did it. And the thing about it, because he went through this conflict and resolved it and said, thy will be done, it shows me that he paid the price of our redemption knowing the full cost. He was not a victim. He was not a victim that was just kind of dragged away. You know, the thing about all those animals that were sacrificed, all those sheep, goat, and whatever, none of them ever wanted to do that. There's no little sheep going, ba-ba, my great desire is to be sacrificed for you. No way! In fact, you know what the term backslider refers to? When they were sacrificing these animals, the animals that were in line, so to speak, to get sacrificed, they would smell the blood and they would start to move away. I don't want to go there. Get me away from that altar. They were backsliding away. Okay? The Lord Jesus, he knew all. He knew the suffering. He knew it all. And he knew the full price, and he paid it. He paid it. The third thing is his commitment. Again, the commitment was to his heavenly Father and to the will of God. And he kept going back three times. He kept going back and saying the same words and making the same commitment, thy will be done. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. His commitment. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. Leaving us an example of how to suffer. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Verse 23, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. Boy, I've got a long way to go. You know, somebody cuts into my space. You know, I mean, I got a long way to go. But here, while suffering, he uttered no threats. But notice this key here, but kept entrusting or committing, kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. He kept continually throughout it all to continue to commit himself to the Lord. As they were jamming the thorns upon his head, he's continually committing himself to the Lord. All that he went through, continuing to commit to the Lord. Which means that after the time of prayer, in a sense, he continued in the presence of his Father in that state of prayerfulness in committing himself to the Lord. I mean, just seeing what he was facing and going through, just having to just continually just say, okay, it's with the Lord. It's with the Lord. Application, okay? What about us? How will we prepare for the trials that lay ahead of us? How will we prepare? Back in Matthew 26, verse 40, and he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter. Now, it's very important why he's speaking directly to Peter, because reading earlier in the chapter, verse 35, Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. There's a man of commitment, right? I'll even die with you, Lord. But yet, in prayer, he couldn't stay awake for 1 hour. Maybe instead of saying the big commitments to the Lord, maybe we ought to be able to just spend an hour, an hour in prayer with him. Verse 41, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay? The idea, I believe, from my study and prayer on this verse is that the idea is that we need to be alert and prayerful that we may not just simply fall into temptation unprepared. The Lord Jesus was prepared for the temptation, which can be translated trial. It's the idea in terms, if it's from God, it's for a positive, it's a trial for proving us in a positive way. The Lord, in every way, passed the test, and he prepared for this test through prayer. And I think he's conveying the same thing to us, is to be alert and praying that we not just stumble into the temptation and fall because of the weakness of our flesh. Prepare through alert prayer that we not fall carelessly into a trial and fail the test. Okay? The Lord, again, just reemphasizing, the Lord emerged from his time of prayer ready to face the trials that was before him, confident and at peace, no longer sorrowful and troubled, but of a clear resolve and strengthened by God. Given that each day presents a host of known and unknown trials, isn't that how your day is going to go on Monday? You've got some known trials. I've got that meeting with these folks, and I've got to deal with that, and I've got to deal with this, and, you know. But there's also a lot of unknowns, aren't there? I just got an email from one of the officers at the school district saying that a high school student, who's the daughter of one of the school nurses, died suddenly. What will the day bring? We don't know. Can we afford to skip prayer in the morning and committing ourselves to him? Can we really afford to skip that? Don't do that. We need to emerge from a time of prayer prepared for what the day will bring, with his peace and with his strength and with confidence. I've said it, okay? Lord bless you. Thank you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for prayer. We acknowledge to your glory that prayer is your idea and that you give us access to you in prayer through the name of your beloved Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that, Lord, we would be those that avail ourselves of such a great opportunity that we have to be before your presence, to gain clarity concerning your will, and strength and resolve to go forward each day. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness, and we bless you. We give all the glory to you in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ.